from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace and our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, weather, it's 85 down on the island in Galveston this morning. It looks like a mix of clouds and sun today. Stray showers or a thunderstorm is possible with those east winds around 15 to 25. Maybe a 20% chance today, 30% tonight, a few showers after midnight, east-southeast 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, a little bit better rain chance, about 40%, but partly cloudy and isolated thunderstorms. High of 87, east-southeast winds will be 10 to 20. So this next week looks a little cooler, and we got some decent chances of rain. So that's encouraging. All right, looking at tides for today, we have three of them. We're sitting on a low. It just occurred at the Galveston Channel at 3:42 a.m. It was a 1.3. We have a high at 7:06 a.m., a 1.4. So that's a pretty weak exchange. But the low this afternoon at 3:54 p.m., it's a negative 0.1. 6:54 a.m. at sunrise, 7:49 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase, it's 68%. And looking at current conditions, it looks like right now it's kind of southeast at the North Jetty at about 13. San Luis Pass looks like it's about 8 or 9 down that way. And then Eagle Point, it's 11. Up around Morgan's Point, it's east at 10. So the old rollover site, it's 13 out of the southeast. But going to be a lot of east in the wind the next few days. Some low pressure sliding over from Florida coming our way. And that'll increase our rain chances and keep those winds in an easterly direction. So that's pretty much where we're at. All right, well, let's go down to the Tri-Bay area now. Let's start off with the old hammer this morning, Captain Glenn Hammond, and see what he's got to offer. Good morning, Glenn. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Good morning, everybody. You were right on the money, 9 miles an hour down here. That's so far southeast.
Yeah.
and southeast at 9. But it started yesterday afternoon. That wind picked up quite a bit. We had these little pop-up showers coming off the Gulf. Barely sprinkled here, but anyway, it created some wind for us yesterday at least. It wasn't near as bad. We sat around in the afternoon, finally in the shade, and had a good breeze, and that's the first time in a while. It really felt good. Friday, I got to get out, and Steve, a buddy of mine from Lake Jackson that I stayed with during the I'll take it back. During Barrel, he didn't get to go. This guy owns his own AC and heating company and works all the dang time. And I met him years ago through CCA. Anyway, he came down and went with me on Friday morning. We got a good early start. We knew how hot it was going to be. And I said, man, if we're even going to go at all, let's make an early. So he was here. He was here at 6. We got on the water just before daylight, and it didn't matter what kind of a start we had. We couldn't, it was just like they were locked up, man. We couldn't get them to bite. We had a few little nibbles here and nibbles there, but it just wasn't anything, man. We finally started catching some baby trout, some baby reds, and I guess we were in the wrong spot that day, but we didn't give up. And on the way home, I said, man, we're going to make one more stop, and we're going to take these. We had been using popping corks, and we took them off and just started free shrimping. And we ended up picking him up 3 nice reds up to 24 inches, and he had one decent trout that was about 18 inches. So never say quit. You know, you think it's all done. And we said, well, there's one more little stop on the way home. And sure enough, man, the fish were there. The tide was going out, and I chunked it out there. I chunked a big old live white hopper shrimp out there, and, man, it wasn't even – it just, boom, I felt that red take off, started peeling that drag off with that braid, and 24-inch, I caught a 24-inch. He got a 22 and a 23, but they were all decent reds, good eating-sized fish, and just sit there and just had a good time, man, and you know, try to get off the water. I think it was just a little after 9:30, right around 10 o'clock. It was already getting hot, and I'm glad we got it done. Got out there and got him some fish, and conditions, like I said, it was real. We didn't have hardly any wind at all. What wind we had was southwest, and to set up a drift, you know, really drifting our bays, you like that good old southeast wind to blow you the right direction down here. The way our little tow heads and everything are, the old intercoastal and intercoastal canal and stuff runs east to west or west to east. And it just, the way the wind was blowing right down the pipe, and it's hard to get lined up on anything. That was my biggest problem, just trying to get next to structure that I usually
boat position.
Catch them on. Yeah, boat position. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was the biggest problem of the day. So yesterday, I'd been putting it off since Hurricane Beryl. One of my little portable generators, I had it stacked. I thought I had it up. You know, it's up on a big old ice chest, and it wouldn't get flooded. Well, the ice chest floated, and it dumped it. We took it apart yesterday. Yeah, I took it apart yesterday. And I had a feeling I wasn't even going to pull on the rope. I was going to drain the oil. Oh, yeah, it's trashed. I got the spark plug out. We looked down inside of there, and you could see rust inside, you know, there. That ain't good. Well, soon as I took the oil spout off and drained the oil out of it, a bunch of salt water came out of there, so I knew I was in trouble. But I've had it for a long time, and I've had, you know, it's a little bitty deal that I use for night fishing. It's a quiet little running son of a gun, and I'm just going to replace it. And I like that night fishing in late summer. You know what I mean? Get out there and just relax in the evenings and stuff. So I'll get me another one. This one, yep, just toast. it's probably the second. Change. Yeah, it is. And I had my two next door neighbors. They went out. They didn't have much luck either, man. He got out. He got to the bait camp, and he discovered his oxygen bottle had been left on overnight, so he couldn't get no live bait. So he had to take his customers out with artificial yesterday. They caught some small fish, but they didn't do too well at all. So, but anyway, stuff happens. You know what I mean? I know it happened to me before, leaving that, just you forget to turn your oxygen bottle off and that seeps out all night. Anyway, that's why he's got a couple more bottles, but I don't know if he had them with him. And let's see, other things, the bait camps are holding some croakers now. They're finally getting some croakers in and some live shrimp. The beachfront's kind of looking good. It was a little chop on it yesterday with that wind picking up. But,
yeah, I bet it was.
It's definitely doable. Down by the clean waters down by the pass compared to what it is down here by the jetties, you know. And then anyway, so you could get out on the beachfront, maybe if the wind will die back a little bit today. I don't know which direction it's going to be. If it's southeast like it is, it's going to be a little choppy this morning, I think, if it's blowing over 10 miles an hour. But let's see.
Been some decent trout catches, you know, on the west side, or I mean on the west end.
I heard some stuff from Chocolate yesterday and over at that end down there around Mudcut and all that stuff. Oh, somebody's catching some fish. I heard a couple of reports about that. So, but it's that water temperature was 87.
Yeah, it's just a spotty time of year, you know. You just gotta be where they're at when the bite wind is available, and
that's it.
Get what you can. If you miss them, you miss them. That's just the way it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might just set right on them. You know, and sometimes happens like that. I was just very, very happy that I'm just live around the corner from a boat ramp, and I don't have any plans this week. I'm all opened up for a boat ride. I'll even go in your boat if you want me to, or give me a call if you need any, want me to point you in the right direction. I'll, you know, try to help you out as much as I can down here. The bait camps, like I said, we're holding bait. They're going to pay between $20 and $24 for the quarter shrimp, $5 for your finger mullet and your mud minnows, and then you're going to pay. So some areas, they have it $10 a dozen for the croakers, and then a lot of places, most places, are $1 a piece or $12 a dozen.
Get two free.
Because they're real proud of those little croakers, man. But
that's pretty bad you can make more money shrimping, catching croakers than you can shrimp. Isn't that something?
It really is. It really is. And I've never been a croaker guy. I know a little bit about it, you know, and how to do it. But I just put shrimp on the boat just to entertain the customers, because they can always catch something on that during the hop-o-matic.
You know, you get entertained up my way with the most hard heads and gaff top. And I mean, you want the trash can slam, it's going on.
A mission mention a gaff top. I caught a 5-pounder. Skippies. I caught a 5-pounder.
Oh, man.
I had one. I said, this ain't no red. He kept me down. Never could see the cork. I said, this ain't no red. Sure enough, I lift him up, and it's a slimy old, big old 5-pound gaffy. You know, couldn't even get that.
Talking to you.
You know, slimed up the side of the boat.
Oh, they're disgusting.
Oh, yeah. They grunt and croak and make all kind of noise. But anyway, I've actually fried a gaff top or two in my time.
They're fine. They're edible.
You know, it's okay if you do it. No, gosh.
All that slam in the ice chest, you know, kind of like Marvin Zindler slamming the ice machine. He hadn't seen slam till he catches a gaff top.
Slam in the ice. That's right. Well, looks like we're going to get some rain this week, Captain Mickey. Well,
hopefully so. We could use a little. We sure could, man.
We can. It started drying out, man. Now all the pot plants and all my wife's plants and stuff need to be watered every day. It seems like it dries out so quick. But it's all good down here.
We're going to get a little break in heat this next week. I mean, and yesterday felt so good. When you just drop the temperature 5 or 6 degrees, it makes a big difference.
Oh, we were all sitting out there going, is this a change or what? To have the breeze, just to have the good cooler breeze. And you're right, just a few degrees cooler.
Well, at East Wind coming off the Gulf, it sure cools things down.
Yes, sir. It sure did. Sure right, did, buddy.
Well, Glenn, if somebody wants to go fishing with you, give them a number.
Yes, sir. They can. Thank you, too. They can always reach me at 713-208-0683, and I got plenty of openings, and I'm ready to go this week. So thank you, Captain Mickey, and I appreciate
all right, Glenn,
you, buddy.
Have a good Sunday. All see right. you, man.
Yes, sir.
Later. All right. Well, join us in September, on September the 7th, from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. for the Heat Wave Slam Shrimp Boil Fundraiser. That's at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda, Texas, for just $20. All you can eat shrimp, live music, and a chance to win big in their raffle. Limited tickets are available, so go online and purchase heatwaveslam.com. And don't forget about their Heat Wave Slam Fishing Tournament. Guaranteed $5,000 payout, entry 300 a team. Go to heatwaveslam.com. That's heatwaveslam.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
They were pretty smart, but you've got being right down to an art. You think you're a genius, you drive me up the wall.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 418 here in the Bayou City. Now let's run down to Freeport. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Jeff Naylor, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Jeff. What's going on down there?
What's up, Captain Maggie? How you doing this morning?
I'm good, man. I hope you are, too.
I got Casey with me this morning.
Cool. Hey, Casey.
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, buddy?
Oh, man. Another day in paradise, I suppose.
Yes, sir.
I'm just glad that Jeff's going fishing this morning and I'm not.
Well.
Man, Yeah, I'm not excited about it. One of our oldest customers, well, I think he's been with us about 4 or 5 years anyway, straight, Mr. Bruce. And, man, I'm not excited, I tell you that.
That's okay, Jeff. We're gonna get you through this today. We're going to get you through this. We're going to go catch you some big snappers and get in early today. That'd be great.
I sure hope so, man. I'll take it. I need it bad. Man, it was yesterday was kind of a dude. Actually, you know what? I said, yeah, I was telling Casey, it was actually beautiful. It was a little choppy going out, like 2 foot. For whatever reason, it was one of those days. It was a little bigger, but my boat just was eating it up. It just, I mean, just a beautiful ride out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw the storms pop up. I said, guys, we got fish in the boat. Let's roll. I stayed right in front of them. You know, I just caught a little bit of breeziness just right at the front face of those storms. Made it all the way back in about 12 miles before we hit the jetties.
Yeah.
Then we had a stranded boat. About five guys on a bay boat were dead in the water. So I decided to try to drag them home. And about the time I latched onto them, here comes the hailstorms, man. And it was like 4 footers. We're taking them over the front.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
How far out were those guys dead in the water?
They were 12 miles out.
Boy, well, that's not good.
I mean, it was the first time we I tried dragging them home, and I'm going to tell you know, for one, a licensed cat. Well, you know, me on a charter, I probably should not do that. For one, for two, it's actually I. You're supposed to have a tow endorsement in order to drag somebody home. And really?
You're supposed to have that? So, I mean, you're supposed to stop and render aid. That's a law, you know?
Right. And you're supposed to, you know, have a tow endorsement. So that there's a controversy there, you know, in terms of that.
Well, then you look at the guys and go, well, I know y'all are fixing to die, but... by law, I can't hook onto you and pull you in because I don't have a towing endorsement. I don't get it.
It's absolutely silly. You know, and I've actually heard of people getting tickets because of that, too.
Unbelievable.
But it's unbelievable. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, anyhow, you know, at first, it wasn't nearly as, you know, bad. So, I tried towing them in. We broke the rope 4 times before I finally told them, look, guys, I can't. It's too big. I'm breaking the rope. We threw the anchor out and I took them back to the dock and we called the tow boat people.
Oh, so you left the boat out there?
Yeah, we had to. There's no, I couldn't make it back. I mean, it was.
Right.
I don't know. I didn't. I did. The rainstorm was pretty good by then. I was just happy to get to my dock, you know.
Fish that boat and get some dolphin underneath.
Maybe.
Where it was?
Yeah, I got the coordinates to it, but it was I drug them all but about 5 miles in. So yeah, I mean it
might be length. Yeah,
so would you just put a lot of rope out, anchored off the bow, and then came in and got a towboat to go out and retrieve their boat or what?
Yeah, I think that's what happened. We I called it into the Coast Guard to tell them if there was a dead boat out there. And then they called. I basically took the coordinates and gave it to them. Whenever they got on the dock, we got the towboat called for them, and let's come get them.
Me and you've had some run-ins with some rescue attempts and some Coast Guards here in the last couple of weeks. Me and you both have.
Yeah.
I had to do a fuel delivery a couple of weeks ago, 37 miles offshore, for somebody who ran out of fuel. I had to take fuel out there.
Boy,
that was. Had to get the Coast Guard involved in that because I didn't have a good position on the boat. And they had to fly a plane out there to locate the vessel. And then when I got a good location on the vessel, I ran out there and brought fuel to them. And whenever I got out there, the Coast Guard was there. We got there at the same time, Galveston Coast Guard, and they went through the boat and inspected. Everything was fine. But, so I had to deliver fuel last week, 2 weeks ago.
Out of gas.
And then the week before that, I had taken some fuel out to some guys who died.
Yeah, that's right. You sure did.
14 miles out, same thing. Man, I mean, I get it, you know. That boat yesterday was silly, you know. 12 miles out, five people in a little bitty bay boat. And if it was 19 foot, it was that was it.
Well, they were overcapacitated then, five people in a little boat like that.
And it's just crazy, you know. And I guess here we are at the end of the season, you know. I feel like people just get desperate, you know. And the crazy part about it is I'm coming through the jetties yesterday, and here goes a smaller boat with about five people on it, crash, jumping waves on the way out. And I'm like, what are you doing? I got to get out of here.
I tell you, from what I've seen, Mickey, I tell you, I'm seeing more and more smaller boats going further offshore. One-inch single-engine boats, which I'm not a fan of, number one. But no. Out there a few weeks back when there was a big, I don't know if you remember, there was a big squall that came through Galveston and came down this way. And we were out about close to 40 miles fishing that day. And the wind went from slick calm to, you know, 4 foot, 5 foot in a matter of a half hour. I mean, it was blowing 30, 40 knots plus.
Wow.
And the little boats ended up showing up out there about the time that thing hit. And I mean, it got, so I was fine. I mean, it was rough, but we were fine. But and I had to go over and check on these boats. I was watching them. They had to turn down sea, and they were, you know, they couldn't do anything, and they couldn't go into the waves because the waves were coming over, trying to come over the front of their boat. And I'm like, these people are screwed if it doesn't calm down. How are they going to get back in?
Yeah.
Going stuff. I mean, it's coming from the north. They're going to have to go straight into it.
Yeah.
People need to be careful, man. There's going to be more and more fishermen going missing. They keep doing that.
I mean, don't know whether people are getting braver or they're just getting dumber. I don't know. That's
I think it might be the second one.
Okay. Combination of both. Oh, but Lord.
Moral of that story, just, you know, you got to be safe. I mean, it really, you know, I get that red snapper are, you know, sought after and everything, but just don't go out and hurt yourself. And, you know, here's another part of that. You know, that boat yesterday, they had been drifting for like 2 hours, and they ended up actually down the beach about 5 miles past where they should have, where they were fishing at.
Right.
And I told them, look, man, I mean, you guys, you call people, the first thing you need to do is throw an anchor. Stop drifting. You know what I mean? That way, when you're giving out coordinates to
whoever, the same place,
you're right there at those coordinates.
That's right.
If you have to have people come and try to find you, I mean, you could be 5-10 miles. The way the currents were at
down
the
current,
at the beginning,
yeah.
Man, you could end up 10 miles in an hour. You know,
and
I mean,
it's not as easy to find a little boat out there as you think it is. You can't
no,
see
it's
them
not.
That far. You can. I mean, I remember the day I was looking for that boat that ran out of fuel. I mean, I had a position on them, but they weren't anchored. They were moving, so I had my radar on, and radars don't pick up little boats like that well. You know, a fiberglass boat doesn't ping very well, but I did pick them up about 4 miles away before I could see them. But it's this little bitty dot on the screen. I mean, luckily it was right on line to where I was going, so I didn't even have to veer off my course any to find them.
Yeah.
And on a side note, everybody needs to be, you know, make sure they have all their safety equipment on their boat that they're supposed to have, because the Coast Guard is checking people right now too. Because I was inspected this week. You know, make sure you have your life jackets, your flares, your fire extinguishers, your life ring, all that, everything.
Everything. They're checking,
They're checking people right now, and I'm glad they're checking them because the people
That's
need
good.
To have that.
Yeah.
But oddly enough, it was a Galveston Coast Guard here in Freeport checking.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Freeport Coast Guard. It was a Galveston Coast Guard. So,
yeah. Well, that was crazy because, you know, when I called it in, so I called it in as I was leaving them. But you know, you're legally supposed to call in that you have basically an anchor boat or navigable hazard. You know, is basically what you're calling in for. And I called in to the Coast Guard here in Freeport. And they said, hold on 1 second. And they did, you know, got in touch with Galveston. So then when I was talking to the guy, I was talking to a Freeport Coast Guard, but they were dispatching the Galveston Coast Guard, which I didn't understand that.
Same thing, whatever. I don't know. Maybe the Freeport people are on strike.
I don't know what they're doing. They're not going out.
I haven't even seen the Freeport Coast Guard.
I saw, you know, it's weird, too. Right when I latched on, boom, there went the not the cutter, but the little one. Driving past me, I was thinking, man. Anyways. But yeah, other than that, man, this is the last official snapper weekend for charter boats. So, you know, here we go. Have you seen the announcement of close of recreational snapper?
Haven't heard anything. They don't have to close.
I hadn't either. I've been waiting on that one.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting the same vibe. Of course, I don't pay attention to it. I've got a lot of phone calls this last week when it's going to close. You know, I don't know. They're not going to tell me.
I wonder if there's any chance they're going to try to stretch it past through the Labor Day weekend, possibly, or something. Maybe, I don't know. They might. I guess it's possible. They could say that the hurricane cost us enough days to where, I don't know, they could use any excuse they want to give us a few more days.
Sure.
See if they do it or not.
Well, it's the state of Texas that's making that change, and according to my friends on the council, that the state of Texas kind of drags your feet a little bit. You know, no offense, but I mean, my big part of my life, folks. I love you guys all to death. I wouldn't be surprised if it does stay open for another month or two. I mean, you know, in reality, we did not get very many days in June or July. I mean, you know, that's completely my opinion. I think there's a snapper out there. I wouldn't be upset if they did, you know, leave it open for the red guys. At least help out those folks that think you got to crush it this weekend. That's it. Go out 3 foot today. It's going to be terrible. I've talked to two people ready today.
Going to be choppy. Choppy to bumpy.
The sergeant buoy, or the 4219 buoy, is reading 3 foot at 4 seconds. So, I mean, that's big.
And yeah, that's choppy, man. That's close.
It's close. Big. Yeah, they're still clocking like 15 knot winds out there. It's going to be rough. It's going to be super rough. Don't go out there and kid yourself.
You know, the forecast is saying 15 to 25. They're throwing that 25 in there, but still.
Oh, that ain't.
That's not good for the mosquito fleet.
No. That ain't good for the big fleet either.
True, but we used to, you know, all the little boats, the bay boats going out there, we'd call them mosquito fleet. I don't remember. I was out on the hill bank or somewhere years ago, and we were out there on some rocks, you know, catching big kings with ribbon fish. And this guy shows up, him and his dog, and a little kid about 12 years old, and they were in a flat-bottom aluminum boat with a 25-horse motor on it. Can you believe that? Well, I was in shock. I mean, it was calm, but all it takes is one storm. They're done.
They're done. Oh, man, toast. It's over. I you know what? It used to be for like a couple, 2-3 years there, man, like the opening day snapper season. I mean, it was crazy. We'd start out early. And I'd get out about 3 or 4 miles ahead of everybody, and I'd look back, and you could just see the skyline. It just, like, whitewashed. I mean, it was like the whole hundreds of them, you know what I'm saying? And I remember one year I stopped in close to get some bait. Of course, the whole fleet caught up with me. And there goes a pontoon boat with, like, six people on, just crushing three and a half, 4 foot waves. Oh, my God.
I'd be afraid that thing had come apart. You know, just the whole deck come off the tunes and everything, welds breaking, bolts snapping. I mean, you got to use your head at some point.
When you see a shotgun start of a billfish terminal, those beautiful yachts going offshore. Well, this was the snapper season opening, and the pontoon boats and the flat bottoms were hitting.
Oh, my God. It was everybody. the sea dudes were out there. It was crazy. I got a video of the pontoon boat because I thought, man, I'll never see this again. Shoot. Nothing surprised me anymore, but, you know, it kind of is what it is. I tell you what, you know, the snapper season overall, Casey and I were just talking about the grade of it this year. You know, it was pretty good. I'd say the grade was good, you know. Absolutely. It was a good year. Yeah. I mean, we didn't catch jumbo snapper, but we caught a lot of real sizable snapper.
Solid fish. All good average. The average size was really good this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big positive. I'd say we were catching 2 to 3 year old fish. I mean, that's real solid.
Yeah.
And, you know, the beeliners, everything seemed to be biting pretty good, with the exceptions of the kingfish, of course. It's been real spotty. I mean, super spotty. Apparently, Casey can go out there and whack them. I have.
This last little 3 week stretch of weather we had, and you know, this whole month up until about now has been pretty calm all month, and kingfishing has been significantly better in certain places, not everywhere, but caught more than I caught more than I was, you know, expecting to catch, and I was happy a few times I was able to find them pretty well. But
well, at least the leaderboard on the Star is full, you know, on King in the Kingfish division. There's five fish weighed in, and at 55.7 is looking pretty good right now with Labor Day coming up.
Looking good.
And, that big snapper was weighed in last week that took over the board, that 24.7. That's looking good, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's solid.
That's a good
fish. That's solid. Yeah.
The board on the Dorado, there's only two on the board, and Ling, there's only two.
Dorado has to be a 20-pound.
Yeah, 20-pound.
Yeah, 20-pound minimum, yes. There's a 34.8 and a 26.10.
The chicken dolphin that we're running over right now are actually pretty sizable, too. They're good teenagers. Yeah. Well, we haven't seen any real big bulls. Actually, no, I take that back. Yesterday, when we were snapper fishing, we had two bulls chasing a bunch of flying fish around, and they were, I mean, 20 pounds is probably a stretch. That's a big fish, you know.
It's
in that range somewhere. Boy, they didn't want nothing to do with us. I tried throwing everything I had at them.
I tell you, talking about fish, you know, differences. The mahi fishing here is this summer, and the last few summers has been very slow compared to the way it used to be. But we used to have a lot more weed lines than we have now. I don't know where the weeds went.
Yeah,
we don't have any weeds anymore. You see three pieces of weed out there during the day. You're doing good.
Yeah, it was light on weed this year.
Man, I'm telling you, big time, and that's probably why. But we used to,
even when I found, like, I found a couple of floating trees. Last weekend, we had a whole entire floating tree.
Might have been the same one I saw.
Just the roots above, like, that was floating, and the whole entire everything in the bottom. I mean, it was like Mahi City. I mean, balls of bait for hundreds
of mahis
each way. Zero. None.
Where was it?
We worked it hard. It was probably, I don't know, 45 miles an hour, something like that. It was in blue water, too.
It should have been covered in fish.
Oh, man, it should have been.
Yeah.
It should have been.
Yeah. Let me do this break, guys. I'll be right back at you. Hang on. I'll be back in just a second. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. What a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. And check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their bulk pricing. That's available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. If you're looking for homemade hamburger patties and hot dogs, that's available for all of your summer cookout needs. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf process, that's also available for pre-order. And their wild game processing facility, well, that's open all summer long. So if your remaining needs include exotics or wild pigs, whatever you're harvesting this time of year, give Brandon a call. He'll let you know. He'll hook you up, see what you can get done with it. The Belleville Meat Market is celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
I was sitting there thinking about her pretty face, kicking myself for not catching her name. I threw my hat and thought, you fool, it could have been love. I knew my old Ford couldn't run her down.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 440 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run back to Freeport and talk some more with Casey and Jeff. All right, guys, we're back.
Back in action. You know what, Casey and I, during the break, we were talking about groupers, and that's another thing that, you know, in years past, I haven't seen a ton of groupers. If I caught two or three in a year, that'd be good. I was catching like two and three in a trip, you know, this time, which is, I mean, a phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
That's a huge positive. I hope those kind of, you get a lot more diversity. We did actually, we caught one trigger fish this year, last weekend, as a matter of fact. And it was a stud, too. That sucker was about 20 inches long. It was huge.
Did you catch any pretty fucking porgies this year?
I didn't catch any porgies.
I caught one two trips ago at the West Palm Center.
Big old stud. Yeah, the ones you catch, you know.
They're good eating, too.
Oh, man.
Really dynamite. Yeah.
Boy, remember when triggerfish used to be a nuisance trying to get your bait down?
It's just isn't that wild how the evolution.
What happened to them? Where'd they go?
I mean, the theory, I think the biggest running theory right now is that the snapper, you know, population came back so hard and they ate all the babies, you know, and it's making struggles.
Well, that makes sense.
I tell you what. snapper's got to be a bad dude to eat, a trigger fish.
There's some chompers, man. Yep. Snappers they're nasty. They're some eating machines.
Boy, I tell you, that's the offshore hardhead, really, because, I mean, he got that. Woo! And what? There, I guess there's so many snapper. They're so, like, competitive that they're not hook shy at all. I mean, you could have a mangrove snapper, and you could have other fish swimming around your boat and your chum, and a red snapper will come up here and grab that bait off that hook while every other fish is just watching it happen. They're not hook shy whatsoever. Very competitive. They're voracious fish, man.
They are.
They eat anything. It really is crazy though. The amount, just the amount. I mean, you would think triggerfish, how could they just disappear that fast? I mean, it's I don't even remember it slowing down or progression of it. I just remember going out there and stop.
They were here today and gone tomorrow, just boom, no triggerfish.
It was crazy. I know we talked about that. You remember the little egg thing that they sold at the fishing show that popped out?
I have a theory on the triggerfish why they all died.
Why?
Well, let's hear it.
Lead poisoning. They freaking eat lead off. They eat the lead off your sinkers, man. They were so bad. They all ate lead, and they all died from lead poisoning. That's what I think happened. They'd eat the paint off your jig head and everything. You come up with no hair, no paint, nothing. I mean, I think they poisoned themselves.
Well,
I'm being joking, really, but
I know. Yeah, but hey,
it's wild.
It used to be so bad. You'd have to put so much weight on to get through them quick enough to keep your bait on to get down to the snapper, and everybody hated fishing with all that weight,
Oh yeah, it was crazy. It was wild. Yeah,
we used to chum them up to the boat and free gap them.
Yeah,
like around those rigs,
right.
They come up to the boat. You could just stick a gaff in them and just start throwing them in the boat. They'd be all swarmed around a little piece of chum in the water and just start gaffing them, throwing them in the boat. Yeah. Crazy.
It's wild. And I think that is a testament. Ultimately, I think that the best running theory is that the snapper came back so thick and kind of just bulldogged them off those places and ate them up. I believe that theory above anything else. And, you kind of see that with everything else, too. I mean, not only that, but all the other species. We used to catch a lot of vermilions during that time,
Right.
I mean? And you don't see as many of those, and you don't see them high up in the column like they used to be, right up at the top.
Well, the snapper seem to be the feral hogs of the Gulf, just like the bull reds are the feral hogs of my bay system up here. I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to rebound a fishery when you've got nothing but a bay full of predators. Like, for whatever reason, bull sharks, I mean, once they come in through the passes, they go straight to Trinity Bay. They go straight to that fresh water. And man, the amount of bull sharks and bull reds we have up there is incredible. And every time you get in a school of trout, you got bull reds will move in. They're trying to eat your trout off the hooks. And if they don't get them, the sharks will. Just gets worse every year. It's crazy.
It's glad to hear that the bay fishermen got the same problems we do. Just different, but it's the same dang problems. Fish trying to, you don't eat the one you do want.
And really, and sharks are a problem, nuisance pretty much everywhere. I often wonder if maybe a rising sea temp or something like that is putting them in good biological conditions to grow as fast and as numbersome as they are. There's a bunch of them out there. It's crazy. I want to follow that with a positive note though. A buddy of mine takes out some biologists out of Galveston, and they're looking into that. That's one of their biggest studies is the shark population and what's happening with those. And Shane Cantrell, actually. So shout out to Shane for everybody out there. But, they're looking into that, and they're trying to see what the correlation is between the kingfish spawn, or whatever the deal is with the kingfish and snapper. And the word that I heard recently on the snapper is that they're thinking that they're declining a little bit. And so we may have a little bit more stringent laws, you know, sound for season and stuff like that in the near future.
More stringent laws on the
snapper? More stringent. Maybe I'm thinking shorter days, basically. Oh, wow. And I think, you know, it was so sad. They actually had this thing called the Great Amberjack Count, where they came out here and they tried to figure out what the population of the amberjacks were. After that lawsuit with the folks down in Louisiana over the VMS system for charter boats, basically what came about is that they told them that the information that they were getting was false. You know, the study that they did, they kind of basically, you know, they weren't, it wasn't good information. So they had to throw away legally all that information that they had, you know, and I'm probably saying that in the improper way, but basically that's what happened. Same thing with the snapper.
How did they determine it was false?
Well, you know, and you know, that was the basis of it. I don't remember the exact reasoning or something, but it all came about around that same time, and that's basically what ended up happening. Was they had to throw away a lot of their information that they had, historical data, because of so they're kind of starting over new. So on the positive side for the fishermen, I guess you could say, is that it's going to take a little longer for them to start enforcing those new laws. In other words, if they shorten the days, it won't happen until next year or the following year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's probably going to be coming. And the same thing with mahi. You know, they're looking at doing some mahi laws. And then, you know, the ling, the cobia, they've had. I've heard stories that it was supposed to be like one per boat for the last couple of years. And I think they're going to start doing that probably here in the near future. So, yeah. You know, things are going to change a little bit and maybe for the better. I don't know.
You know, it's amazing how all this correlates because, you know, our populations of fish are declining inland, you know, in inshore waters and in offshore waters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, but in one thing, for me, of course, it's terrible because we own a business and that's what we do. And it kind of stinks that way, you know, but at the end of the day, it's a proven fact that it works. You know, the snapper laws and all that 10 years ago, it's paying off today. You know, so you got to really, you know, take that into consideration. And then also for your own personal benefit. Look, I mean, if we all regulate ourselves a little bit better, you know, we'll probably push that time frame a little further and further, you know.
I feel like there's a lot of common sense in a lot of these bag limits, though, that's not being applied. Like, why are they letting you keep more of one fish that there's less of and less of fish that there's more of? To me, it just doesn't make sense.
They don't correlate these bag limits with how many are out there. I mean, we know there's more red snapper out there than there is vermilion snapper than there is mangrove snapper. Well, why can you keep more mangroves and vermilions than you can red snappers? I mean, it makes absolutely
because there's less data on mangroves, mainly.
I know there's less data, but I mean, we know there's less of them. I mean, you can go catch a red snapper anywhere. You can catch a mangrove snapper only a few places, but you can keep more of them. It just, to me, it doesn't have any common sense in it at all.
So what you said makes sense, and a lot of times they don't look at it that way. It is strange. Yeah. I'm with you 100% on that.
Like the kingfish. The kingfish got worse. Fishing got worse, and they let us keep three instead of two.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's like that, you know, you can't be so slow to react to something. If you know it's happening, just change it. Just do it. I mean, if you know you need to do it. Don't wait till the next year. Do it now. I mean,
that's the problems, you know, we've seen with our inshore fishing. They wait too long. By the time they make the changes, it's actually too late.
I think that has a lot to do with how the laws, you know, mind you, things that fishing regulations that are in federal waters have to be written into law. And you just to pass a law, it takes 30 days by the time you pass it in order for it to go into effect or to be signed into law. And it may even be longer to go into effect. So, you know, with that being said, there's a perfect opportunity there for each one of us to regulate ourselves just a little bit. If you know you're going out there and trout are really hard to come by and you're only catching 3, 4, 5 a day, maybe pull your limits back to 2. Go find some. Go, and the same thing offshore. You know, if I'm over there, you know, I'm only catching a couple of sows on a spot. I'm not going to grind all day to catch all of them on that spot. I want to
leave them there. You know, you want to leave them there. Move on. Leave them. Catch a couple of smaller ones. Put them in the box. Make them part of your limit. You know, self-regulation is a long way, you know, in the whole grand scheme of things.
I totally agree with you. That's it.
We talk about that all the time, Mickey. I know you're a big fan of that. And, you know, I have to second you. I understand, you know, we're in a business where we got to provide meat, and that's a lot of people look at that, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of satisfaction going out there and just catching big fish, you know. And if you don't ever catching those big fish, things will change a little bit too. You know, you might not
If you're booking a charter to go out and catch meat, man, you can – save a lot of money, just go to the fish market. Because, you know, say if all your buddies bail out on you or whatever, you just got, you're just one guy and you book an inshore guide and it's $750, $800 for a day and you come in with three trout. By the time you fillet them out, weigh those fillets and then divide that into your per pound what it cost you. And boy, I tell you what, it'd be expensive.
You know,
about $350 a pound for fillets? No, I don't think so.
Over the years, Freeport, Texas, back when we had Captain Elliott's, and even before that, this area was only attraction here was the fishing. So we kind of a culture got developed down here of meat halls. Still kind of in place today. Not as bad as it used to be, but we kind of made our own problem here with that. I mean, everybody wanted to catch more fish than the guy next to him when he came to the dock. He wanted to be the big guy on the dock, you know, had the most fish in it.
Right.
Allergy is still.
Hey, what was it Monty said that time? And I asked him, you know, what do you credit this, you know, decrease in the population? He said, well, it's because 288 North.
They went 288 North. That's right.
I cracked up when he said that.
It's true.
That was the mentality, though, man.
That for a long time. And we were bad. We were bad, man. We were so bad.
And it's hard for the kettle to call, you know, pot black, but that's where we're at right now is, you know, it's just, you know, again with kingfish, you know, yeah, you're limited to per person. Will you do fine with one? Yeah. I catch three or four or five, I'm done. You know, I keep moving. I don't need to. It's just not necessary, you know. We got plenty of fish to catch. We can catch some species here, there, whatever. And, you know, I'm as happy. My customers are happy. You know, we get on the boat. We have a fun time. You know, that's it. And everything else is just kind of bonus. And it's a real big factor now for me. So,
well, a lot of people put too much emphasis on the meat thing, and when they should just be putting it on the outing. It's the outing.
That's right. Absolutely. Who wouldn't want to go fishing with the world famous Mickey Eastman? Man, look,
a lot of people wouldn't.
We don't have to keep a single fish. I just enjoy going out there and enjoy myself with you. You know. On a completely separate note, you know, I got to throw this out there. SOD, Southern Outdoor Dreams, was our vets trip last weekend. It was amazing. We had some really good weather. We had some really happy vets. A lot of guys from our local area, too, that have Purple Hearts, all kinds of stuff. Really cool stuff. Their banquet is October the 26th at the Dow. The Dow Academic
Center. Academic Center at Brazosport College.
October 26th. So if you're not doing anything, come out there, support us. You know, they'll be auctioning off. They got some great food, good entertainment. A lot of their stuff is kids, so they present actually an awards banquet where they present the kids who have hunted throughout the year with their taxidermy stuff, and it's like really, really neat. So come out and check us out.
All right. Well, cool. That's good info. Well, I got to run, guys. It was good talking to you. Good information this morning. Somebody wants to call you all about getting down and going out in some blue water fishing. How they get a hold of you?
Get a hold of me anytime at 979-417-1013 or go to our website at stsladventures.com. Man, Mickey, go ahead, throw them a number real quick.
If they want to talk general fishing, any information, if they need gas delivered to them, if they run out of gas offshore, they can call me at 979-373-7000. 1398.
All right, Casey. All right, you and Jeff have a good Sunday. Always a good time talking to you. Y'all be safe out there.
All right, brother. Bye-bye. Have a good
Keep
weekend.
Keep that fuel flowing, baby. All right, see you, man. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.